Do you remember the picture of my son? It won a Pulitzer Prize. The picture of him lying dead on the sidewalk at Columbine High School. His name is Daniel. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. Did you know that the roots of the Columbine murders started back in 1967 when our Colorado lawmakers passed a law that allowed a baby to be put to death because her father was a criminal? In one evil law, they changed our country from a culture of life to a culture of death. Since that day, 50 million babies in this country have been killed through abortion. Will you stand with me? Will you stand in the place of just one of these victims? Join me as Colorado Right to Life presents the annual March for Life at the State Capitol, Saturday, January 21st at 1:30 p.m. I will share with you a story that few know. Join me, because abortion is always wrong.
Warning is truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church in Washington today. The Senate is considering whether they will affirm George W. Bush's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court, Samuel Alito, whether they will give their consent and agree with the president that Alito will be the next Supreme Court justice to take his position on the court. It's a Republican court, and it's solidly pro-choice, not ever affirming that an unborn child has a right to live. And so we're looking at Samuel Alito, and it turns out that the conservative Christian community, our national leaders, are strongly in support of Samuel Alito to be confirmed for life to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm looking at his record, and it turns out 10 years ago, 1995, he voted to keep it easy to get a tax-funded abortion by claiming rape, even when no crime had been reported to police. In 1997, Alito voted to prevent parents from suing for the wrongful death of a fetus, ruling that there's no protection in law, America, for the unborn, even though, of course, many states have laws protecting unborn children from wrongful death, crimes, so on, malpractice. In the year 2000, Samuel Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. As a federal judge, he voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. And so these cases are about as significant as you can get regarding the pro-life issue. And apparently our national Christian leaders have seen to it to support Samuel Alito. And they must be taking these. Certainly these are the most important things that Alito has done in regards to the pro-life movement. His decisions rendered as a federal judge regarding the unborn. Keep it easy to get a tax-funded abortion by claiming rape, even when there's no crime, when no crime has been reported to the police. Preventing parents from suing for the wrongful death of a fetus. And Samuel Alito, who today is in hearings before the U.S. Senate as to whether or not they will confirm him to be a U.S. Supreme Court justice, Samuel Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion in New Jersey. And we're going to take a call here in a moment. Our number, 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. But our national Christian leaders are lobbying for the confirmation of Samuel Alito, even though he has ruled in an extremist pro-abortion way for most of the last 15 years, an extremist pro-abortion way. And there's a new section coming to our DylanWalborn.com website. Dylan is the four-year-old boy who was starved to death by his parents recently, and with the support of Children's Hospital, the pastor of a local church, Christian church, and so many public school teachers affirming that it was right to starve to death little Dylan, who was severely handicapped. And our memorial website, dylanwolborn.com, we just added a new section a couple days ago on the matter of food and water. And now tomorrow we'll be adding the second to the last section on the legality of killing Dylan Wolborn, of starving him to death. How is it that Children's Hospital could recommend that parents could starve to death a handicapped child in Colorado? How is that possible? So we'll be adding that section. And then the final section is titled on the participation, on the involvement of Victory Church in Dylan's life. So what role did Victory Church have and their pastor, Buddy Kahn? And so we'll be getting to that. That'll be the final section to the memorial website, dylanwolborn.com. Okay, now some of you will remember that we interviewed a pastor from Ohio a few weeks back, and what an exciting time we had. This pastor, Trent Cole, is a former Church of Christ pastor, extremely legalistic, and he then found the grace message, the gospel of grace, which is different than the covenant of law and the covenant of circumcision, because law and grace are different. And in the Bible, there's the covenant of law and the covenant of grace. Well, Pastor Trent Cole and I we're becoming friends long distance. And Trent, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
How you doing there, Bob?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to have you back on.
Yes, it is. It's an honor to be back on.
Hey, Trent, could you tell me, you called today excited that the Bible, excited in the way we could apply the Bible to current events. Could you give the audience an update on what you've been doing?
Yesterday in our service, as a matter of fact, maybe a little bit before then, I had been doing some particular teaching on some material that I had gotten from you and your congregation there, dealing with the issue of the death penalty.
Yes.
And when I presented that material earlier, a few people angry about the death penalty. So I never got to the part there of the teaching of the six arguments that are put forth from, and especially Christians,
Against the death penalty.
You know, the six arguments there, they say, well, Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. They bring this up, the subject, the adulterous woman. Mm-hmm. They bring forth the subject of turning the other cheek and a few other topics. And this past Sunday, I addressed all six of those arguments. And it was really wonderful. Now, one of the main ones that really made people really happy and relieved is that when I talked about the issue of forgiveness, and it was really a blessing to me myself when I really studied it out from some material I had gotten from you, from the standpoint then it comes down to forgiveness, a lot of people fail to realize that we cannot forgive other people for what other people have done to them. And I think some people fail to realize that. Just for instance, like, murder. People say,
right,
well, Jesus said we should forgive. Well, how can you, Bob, forgive someone else for murdering someone else?
Well,
they didn't murder you.
Yeah, that's a great point, Trent. And it's such common sense, isn't it? If someone has committed a crime against a third party, I don't have the standing to forgive them for that crime.
No, you don't. You can only forgive them for the hurt how they hurt you, but the crime itself, you can't forgive them for that.
Yeah, we're not God.
And so my congregation was so thrilled to come to see the simplicity of that, just that little thing there alone.
Oh,
and it's
praise
just been,
God.
It's been a blessing. It really, really has. And we Christians have really done a number on God's moral law, not really understanding the grace that we have that has taken us from the penalty of the law, but we should also represent those laws because, as you said before, the law is the heart of evangelism. Because how in the world can the world understand their lost state unless we uphold God's moral law that condemned the whole world?
Yeah, it's right. It's God's law that tells the world you are guilty. All the world, everyone in the world is guilty because they have violated God's law. And God's law says things like do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not lust, that is, do not covet, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And so if we throw the baby out with the bathwater, we want to bring the gospel of grace to people so they could be saved through trusting Jesus Christ. But if we obscure the ministry of the law, then they think they're not sinners. They think that people, human beings, are basically good.
Exactly. And basically that's what I see a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's because the law is there to, as you very well have taught and shown, is to convict the lost sinner. I mean, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6, where Paul says, some have swerved under vain jangling, being desired to be teacher of the law, not understanding what the law is about. And then Paul goes on to tell us that the law, first of all, is not for a righteous man, but it's for the lawless. It's for the murderers and those individuals.
Right.
That they may understand what they are, and in turn, they may turn to God in faith and be saved by God's grace.
Yeah, when I was growing up, there was still an idea in society, for example, that that a man and a woman should be married if they wanted to live together. But and in fact, people were ashamed to be found out to be doing immoral things. Today, young people and adults, they brag about their sexual immorality. They brag about it so because the law has legitimized sex outside of marriage. So rather than feeling guilty and looking to God for forgiveness, they march down Broadway and they brag about their sexual immorality, making the job of the Christian, of the evangelist, so much more difficult.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, you know, another strong point that Beardsley taught is that many fail to recognize God's purpose. As we, if I go back to that issue of the death penalty, how that when a government does not carry out that God-ordained position, it fails to teach about the second death.
Oh.
It was really amazing how, you know, that your study of God's word, how it shows that in God's word, that when a government does not carry out its God-ordained position, it fails to teach society lessons that it needs to be taught. It was very beautiful that in the book of Hebrews, as Hebrews gives you more or less the spiritual aspect of the death penalty. It talks about how someone who broke the law of Moses said that they were judged and put to death before two or three witnesses, and how much more it shall be to the men today who trot under themselves the Son of God, which is the second death, which is the spiritual death.
Yeah, so for those who despise Jesus Christ and they go through their lives never fearing judgment from God, and they look at the world around them and they say, there is no justice. There is no right and wrong. There is no God of justice. And the Bible tells us that it's when governments institute justice among men that men are more inclined to believe in right and wrong and to believe in a judgment day and justice. But when they see no justice with their eyes, when wickedness marches and parades down the street, then people, the masses, doubt the existence of a God of justice.
Well, amen. Amen to that. So like I say, it's really been wonderful. It's been really a great pleasure there of getting to know you and the wonderful teachings from God's Word that your congregation has put together and studied out. And I hope people know that you have this material out there on CDs that they can order.
Yep.
I really highly recommend it.
Well, that's very kind of you, Trent. Quite often we tell people on the radio show that they can call us and get our DVD, for example, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment, and they could go to our website, kgov.com, and shop around, browse on our online store, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 800-836-9278. Well, Trent, thank you. Hey, I am just honored to become your friend, and you're a pastor in Ohio. I pastor Denver Bible Church, but we've really hit it off well when we met in Indiana just some weeks ago, and I'm blessed to know you, Trent.
Amen. That I'm really blessed to have known you, and your ministry has been a blessing to my ministry, and I thank God that your ministry has also helped me grow, or to continue to grow in God's word and my ministry, and I really appreciate it, and I have really been passing it on to other ministries, and I hope they too will sit back and take a look at the importance of the role that we have in this world as God's children, as members of the body of Christ.
That's so great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Trent Cole. God bless you.
Thanks for having me. Take care, Bob.
You're very welcome. What an honor. What a neat opportunity to have Trent on this radio show. Yesterday at Denver Bible Church, today is our sixth anniversary from the first sermon delivered at Denver Bible Church 6 years ago, January 9th, 2000. And so I did a look back of the last 6 years, and we read our mission statement, the goals of Denver Bible Church, and I want to look back and see what are we doing toward meeting those goals, which includes training people for the ministry, training others, discipling, teaching the Word of God, of course, leading people to salvation through Christ and helping them to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, becoming like Jesus. Well, I sort of felt bad because after the sermon was done, I felt like we had just been in a business meeting rather than a church service, because I spent the time of the sermon listing the ministries that Denver Bible Church has influenced and the ways we've made an impact on so many, and praise the Lord, but it was a little awkward, I got to say. But Trent Cole is one of the many that we mentioned yesterday, and what a blessing to have him call today. So excited about how the Word of God can be applied to the current issues of our day, government, public policy, and we Christians have the answer to what ails the world if we study God's Word and rightly divide and do not need to be ashamed, because we can answer those who ask about the hope that is within us. Okay, so while the national Christian leaders are lobbying for Samuel Alito, who has voted as a federal judge to keep it easy to get tax-funded abortions by claiming rape even when no crime has been reported to the police, Alito has voted to prevent suing for wrongful death of an unborn child by parents, ruling that the Constitution, our law, does not protect the unborn in any way. That's an extremist position, because many states have wrongful death laws on the books. In 2000, Alito voted to keep legal even partial birth abortion in New Jersey. And so our national Christian leaders are lobbying aggressively for Samuel Alito to be confirmed. I wonder what he would have to do to get them to oppose him. I wonder if he performed a partial birth abortion himself with his own hands and ripped the child apart. Maybe then they would oppose him. But as a federal judge ruling to keep legal partial birth abortion, they say, well, there are more important matters at stake. Like the spokesperson, Kerry Gordon Earle, for Focus on the Family, said to the media that we're more concerned about judicial philosophy than we are his position on abortion. So I guess that's because judicial philosophy trumps thou shalt not murder in the eyes of some Christians. Judicial philosophy can take precedent over thou shalt not murder. So on our website, dylanwalborn.com, we have a brand new section. There's a few different sections. The story of what happened to Dylan, the reasons for why they thought it was right to starve him to death, and on the matter of food and water, on euthanasia, where does Dylan's death fit into the stages and forms of euthanasia? And now this new section going up on the legality of killing Dylan. And each of these are small. It's a brief website. You get the whole story pretty quickly. In this section on the killing of Dylan, the legality of it, it talks about whether or not you can have a just law that says You can starve to death a handicapped child, for example. Any law that violates you shall not murder is invalid. That's the first section, just the paragraph. Then there's a section on how Children's Hospital gets away with starving children. How can they do that? And then there's a final section that describes popular theories on origins and animals and law and how they lead to euthanasia. Okay, so let me quote to you from some of this. To start with, could the law ever conceivably justify starving anyone? The answer is no. Any law that violates you shall not murder is invalid. Those who reject scripture, right, say atheists, liberals, whoever, those who reject scripture, they also reject its prohibitions as authoritative. So just because the Ten Commandments say you shall not murder, an atheist doesn't care. If the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery, the atheist doesn't care. But sadly, many Christian leaders have themselves undermined God's special revelation, the Bible, as the foundation of law. Various national Christian ministries claim that the Constitution, if we're here in America, or maybe in some other country, other legal arguments, can take precedent over thou shalt not murder. And thereby, our Christian leaders publicly support certain politicians, judges, laws, and verdicts, even though they explicitly violate do not kill the innocent. Right? God says that in Exodus 23. Do not kill the innocent. So Christians must reassert the truth that no government has the authority to decriminalize any actual crime, such as stealing, kidnapping, rape, right? The government doesn't have the authority. If the government says, well, you can kill Jews, that's an invalid law. They don't have the authority to decriminalize murder or rape or kidnapping or theft. That includes then the starvation of children. The government does not have the authority to decriminalize any actual crime, including starving children, which is murder. Even if it's humanly legitimized, it's still murder. Why? Because no man-made side agreement, whether it's the Constitution or medical policies, no man-made side agreement can rightly usurp authority over you shall not murder. So no, it cannot be conceivably justified to starve Dylan. So it doesn't matter what the law says, it's wrong and it's murder. Now, how does Denver's Children's Hospital get away with starving children? As the Denver Post reported, somewhat commonly, their ethics committee talks through that. Well, the state of Colorado's Board of Medical Examiners, they have a website. And on that website, it says, correctly, that Colorado law currently prohibits both euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. And then they conclude, therefore, that physicians must not perform euthanasia or participate in assisted suicide. Tragically, however, their conclusion is superficial because their policy, which we will link to at dylanwalborn.com, the Board of Medical Examiners, their policy falsely indicates that starvation is not a method of suicide or euthanasia. So they say it's against the law to euthanize someone or for physicians to assist suicide, but that doesn't include starvation. It's legal. It's okay to starve people to death if they're handicapped. Let's go to sometime guest host here, co-host Doug McBurney. Doug, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Bob, how are you?
Doing great, sir.
This show sounds so great, but this Dylan Walborn story is so heartbreaking.
Yes.
It's really, I've been to the website. I recommend everybody look at it. It's really tremendous, Bob. You're the one talking about this.
Well, Doug, thank you very much for encouraging people to go there. I mean, the website is as simple as could be. and it explains the story of how parents of Dylan Wallborn, they were encouraged to starve him to death by medical authorities, a local pastor they looked to.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk to you, Bob. Obviously, we would expect nothing more from the medical authorities or the government, but there is a church involved in some guidance from a pastor.
Yeah, it's absolutely a tragedy. And we are, Leslie Hanks, vice president of Colorado Right to Life, is trying to get a conference call or a meeting with a couple of the pastors at Victory Church. And I've also called over there, and we're hoping, well, we don't know their schedule, but we're praying, hoping that we could meet or talk by tomorrow or Wednesday. And we have some very, very specific questions. And obviously, people want to know what was the role of Pastor Buddy Kahn at Victory Church in the decision that the parents made to starve to death Dylan. The Denver Post presents him as fully supporting them in their decision, and they're from the morning of the day they made the decision, and then again when Dylan was dying, and after he died, that the Denver Post presents this Christian pastor as affirming the euthanized killing of Dylan Wallborn. So that we need to find out what exactly happened.
Bob, I pray that you're able to communicate with that pastor, and everyone involved at that church, that congregation needs to know that it's only we Christians who'll draw the line against murder. The government has already drawn the line. Well, and we have to know, and we have to stand up. That the pastor you had on earlier was so great when he points out what the law is for, and who is it but we, the Christians, who can show people what the law is for and then show them salvation.
Yeah, and starving, it's wrong to starve someone to death. And I realize Colorado's medical community doesn't understand that. But our Christian, our true evangelical Christian churches should understand that. Doug, thank you so very much.
God bless, Bob. Bye.
God bless you. We're almost out of time, but in Goshen, Indiana, Daryl, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yes, Bob. Just wanted to tell you, I'm listening on the live stream.
You're listening to Bob and Yurt Live on the internet. Praise the Lord.
We want to tell everybody out there to tell their friends that Bob and Yurt Live is on live again all around the country.
Well, Daryl, that's right. And we've been waiting to announce that, but we haven't quite yet because we don't want to crash it.
Well, I understand.
We want to make sure that it's solid and it's going to serve as many people as possible. But I'm just thrilled that people are beginning to find their way to our live streaming link.
There's one more thing that you don't talk about enough.
Yes,
sir. Your podcast.
Our podcast. Well, we're almost out of time. So people could go to kgov.com, click on podcast on the top right, and get the show automatically delivered to them every day.
If you have iTunes, it's on iTunes.
All right. God bless you, Daryl. Thanks so much. Appreciate that. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out. 72nd and Oak at Maranatha. What a school, Maranatha.